Hold on.
She's mashing buttons.
Mashing buttons. It's too many damn buttons. Why won't it go live on Instagram?
I feel like we say this every week.
We do. There we are. We're live, I think. There we go.
That algorithm is against us, honey.
It is.
I think it has our name.
Hi, I'm Rick.
I'm Dan.
I'm George.
I'm Jake.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
In each episode,
we're going to talk about everything from growing up queer in the South to the issues affecting our community today.
With a little bit of fabulous sprinkled in along the way.
Join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of queer joy.
Mixed in with the occasional bitch fest.
But always served with the spiciest tea.
Well, that was an abrupt end. What happened?
That was the end of that, honey.
She's weird. She said, nope, we're out.
She's out of the van. Hello.
How's everybody? Happy Wednesday.
Howdy, as they would say in cowboy country.
That's right. Howdy, y'all. Howdy. So, okay, we are talking tonight about none other than Cowboy Carter. Everybody's heard the album, right?
Yes.
How you loving it?
I love it. Like, it has been on constant rotation in this household.
It has been in mine as well. And I made Dan listen to it over the weekend while we were in the desert for Easter. So, yeah, I wouldn't say made Dan. He actually was quite into it. So,
I mean, I definitely think that this album, like, if you've not been a fan of Beyonce, I don't know.
First of all, who are you if you're not a fan of Beyonce?
Well, are you even gay? You're doing gay wrong if you don't like Beyonce. But like, you know, like obviously, I don't know. I feel like this is a great gateway album because it's just such a departure, and there's so many different genres of music on it. Obviously, the big one being the fact that she took on country, which is just. It makes my heart warm.
I mean, I think it's very intentional. From my point of view. And one of the reasons I say that, and they've talked about this a lot since the album came out, is that Beyonce is quoted as saying that this album has been over 5 years in the making for her. And it was born out of an experience that she had years ago where she did not feel welcomed. And it was very clear that she was not welcomed. And so this is her way, I guess, of clapping back. And I'm all for it. I'm here for it. But
and that was thinking about an experience that she had at the CMAs.
Exactly. Back in 2016.
When she performed with the Chicks back. Yes.
Right. Natalie Maines was on the Howard Stern. And that's where she called out the CMAs because apparently there was a lot of flack. Right, about Beyonce appearing because Beyonce's not country, even though she's from Texas.
Right.
But I guess there was so much flack that, and although Natalie Maines talks about how that performance was the highest rated event that the CMAs had ever had, and because of all the backlash from all the trash talking from, Natalie Maines quotes that calls them racist assholes, they ended up taking down her performance. And that lasted for about 24 hours. And then they realized the backlash got even bigger.
What are you doing? Come on now.
Who's in charge over there? Come on now.
So. A racist asshole, according to Natalie.
Somehow I feel like that's not just alleged. That's probably fact.
I agree with you, George. I think it is. I think in a lot of different genres of music, there's a lot of racism, and it's not just country music. I think there have been a lot of people in the rap and R&B world who've said, oh, my God, what's that white boy doing here? He can't do that. So it goes both ways. There's a lot of that out in this world, and I love artists who are fearless in standing up and saying, it turns out I have a voice, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to do me.
Yeah.
And you can like it or not like it, but it's because it's out there. It's unfortunate, but we haven't passed that in this world.
No, and the rise of certain individuals over the past few years have emboldened these people to actually feel like they feel like they should be heard. And honey, you shouldn't. You just sit back down. Nobody wants to hear from you.
That's right. So Dan, I feel like with you, like, I feel like you're like this new little born virgin to this kind of, to Beyonce's full album. So I have to know, what was your opinion?
Okay. First of all, there's nothing virgin about her, but okay.
Lose it or use it, honey.
That's it. I mean, truthfully, I think Texas Hold'em, which I think is the first single out, I love that because I think it is truly, if you want to talk about a gateway, I think that's the way into country music.
Yeah.
You've got to have something that's going to get the attention of the population. And I think that song is definitely the song to do it. It's really good. I will say that one. Go ahead, Rick.
I was going to say that it also it. Shit, can't find my words. It was all over TikTok. And so having it all over TikTok and having it explode, release the way that it did on TikTok is the best way to do it. It became like everybody was doing it. I don't know if you guys are a TikTok hoe like I am.
Well, we all know that Beyonce should send you royalties for helping her on TikTok. Go ahead. Now go.
Well, you know.
Speak the truth. Tell her your address.
That's right. No, I agree, Dan. Like it's such the perfect lead single, and it set the tone, and it got people talking, and then the fact that on the actual album, Willie Nelson does the introduction.
Yes.
Like, come the fuck on, bitch. Like, sorry. Like,
well, he introduces two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really do like the fact that there is such an homage to marijuana in this album, which is really quite unique. It's really embedded in there in different ways. I mean, smoke sessions. But even Dolly gets into it. She's like, let's light up a match and get this joint rocking. I'm like, you know, come on.
Miss so Dolly it's, P. It's,
right?
I love that Jolene cover. Do you know what I came across actually a couple of days ago was an old interview with Dolly Parton. I don't know, I'd say old, but I probably in the last 5-10 years, I'm not sure, where someone was interviewing her and talking about how about the song Jolene.
Yeah.
And she had said, you know, I would really love it if Beyonce would cover this song.
Wow.
And they were like, really? I mean, it's been covered by, like, you know, hundreds of artists all over the world in different variations in different languages. And she's like, yeah, but there's just something about it. She's like, I just love Beyonce. I love everything about her. I think she's amazing. I think she's super talented. And I just feel like she would bring something to this song that much like how Whitney did to I Will Always Love You. And she's like, I would really love it if Beyonce would do a cover of it. And here we are.
And there here we are. And you know, what's so true about everything that you just said that was in this article was Beyonce brought her very own version, like the updated version of Jolene, because it's no longer, I'm begging you not to please take my man. Like it's more of a like, warning.
Do it now. And find out.
It's the F around and find out for
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. So,
but you know, Dolly still has complete, like total writing credit on the album liners. So I don't know if Beyonce actually wrote the new lyrics, but she's given all the credit to Dolly.
I certainly don't know, but for some reason I heard that Dolly actually wrote it for her. But I don't know. I don't want to speak out of school. I don't know, so don't come for me in the comments, people.
Come for Rick. Go ahead.
So you had mentioned that this album had been in the works for about 5 years, and I have heard this is alleged. Oh, this is alleged. No, Beyonce did not tell me this directly, so I don't know.
Knock, knock, knock. George, let me tell you a story.
Exactly. Allegedly, 5 years ago, with the inception of this, some of it was a little bit about Taylor Swift, a little bit about stepping into like Taylor country. Of course, since then, they have certainly reconciled, and that's not the case any longer. In fact, there's now this wild rumor going around social media that Taylor actually does uncredited background vocals on one of the songs.
Oh.
Well, I will say
we that, have to confirm that.
I felt like it had a lot of Taylor influence into it. Good, better, and different. I just thought that it was something that was so across the board because there are so many different genres in this. It's not just one.
No. No, for sure. So Dan, I feel like Texas Hold is your favorite song. So, Rick, if you have got a favorite,
I love a lot of them.
I know it changes, right? It changes as we listen to the album.
It changes on the time of day that I listen to them. But I think overall, probably Blackbird. for a lot of reasons. And I think the biggest one for me is because if you know the history of Blackbird, you know that Paul McCartney wrote that song in response to the Little Rock Nine, which is, you know, a group of nine Black students who were at the center of the center of desegregation. I think it was in, where was it? I think it was in Arkansas, but don't.
Little Rock.
Little Rock, Arkansas. Yeah. And so he wrote this song because Bird actually means girl in the UK. And so he was writing the song for them and about that. And the fact that, you know, she's taken it to where she's taken it, it's just a very special song. And I thought that it was just really great. And I found an interview. Hold on. Sorry.
And I will say, while you're looking for that, like, I love the fact that she doesn't. There's no real difference in the way that she does it. She just does it straight out. Straight out the way that you've always heard it. But now you're hearing it from Beyonce, which just has such a weight, such a gravitas.
So I come across an interview a little while ago from Melba Patillo Beals. And she is one of the members of the Little Rock Nine. And she said that Beyonce's version was more meaningful to her because she said, it's the story of my life. And she was 15 years old when this happened to her. Wow. And to hear Beyonce do this.
Right. Like, that's the thing. Like, having this person of color, having this Black woman sing the song that's like the history of these children at the time. Like, I mean, that's why it has this weight now that it just didn't have with the Beatles, you know?
Right. And a nice thing is Paul McCartney's getting a lot of street credit for it as well. You know, there's a lot of people going back and saying, you know, he created something so long ago that was such an homage.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear it updated by Beyonce.
For sure. So
Ross is here in his little cowboy hat. Everybody say hi, Ross.
Hi, Ross.
And Aaron's here as well. Hi, Aaron.
I was thinking about Tommy with this episode.
Oh, we should have sent an invite out to him to have him join us. So where are you at, Tommy? Are you there?
Who knows what time it is in England?
9 hours. It's 9 hours from now.
So, yeah, she's asleep.
Alexa, what time is it in London, England?
4 a.m. I think that's 4.
It's 3:15 a.m. So there wake up. Wake up, girl.
Exactly. This is very important. Important things are being discussed.
That's right.
I think for me, it is hard to pick a favorite song. Like, on first listening, I loved Ya Ya. Like, I love that song.
I still
love it. But I got to tell you, the opening song, American Requiem, like, I am, that does it for me. Like, it's so powerful. It's such an amazing opening for an album.
I mean, I like that too. Jolene is also another favorite of mine as well. I mean, God, there's just so many, right?
I know.
The Linda Martell covers, like, with I wouldn't say cover because she's actually performing in it, but yeah. But what is it? Is it Spaghetti?
Spaghetti.
Yeah, I think it's Spaghetti. Yep. So I have to get my list. I don't have my list in front of me. I'm so unprepared tonight. So
let's talk a little about Linda Martell.
Too Most Wanted is Aaron's favorite.
Oh, well, there we go. See, okay. Can I say something that's going to be real unpopular?
That's usually my job, isn't it?
I don't want to have to edit another episode.
Because, like, exactly, Dan. Like, had you said it, my answer would have been better than anybody I know. So tonight it's going to be me. That is my least favorite song on the album. My least favorite is the Miley duet.
So, okay. We talked about this last week, actually, and Aaron says, girl, where are you going with this? Calm down. But
I said what I said, Aaron. I said what I said.
We talked about this last week. I don't hate the song, but I think, you know what it is for me is I feel like of all the music, it probably has the least crossover, and I'm probably going to be totally wrong, and it's become the number one hit next week, and everybody, it's just going to be completely off base. But it has the least crossover for me of everything. Not that it needs to have crossover, but it feels very, very centered in country music, and it'll never really kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I'm saying that the right way. So I don't think I'm saying that the right way.
I felt the opposite of you, Rick. I actually thought it was so beautiful, and I thought it would be a perfect crossover. I think their duet, their harmonies are so exquisite on that.
And I will say...
it'll have a bigger audience in the pop world than the country world.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think that's a country song. I think it's a country song, but I don't think it's going to get traction in the country world. I think it will in the pop world.
So you
I would be surprised if that isn't the next single out.
Well, I'll say this. This is more buzz that I heard in the ether. Again, Beyonce did not tell me this. Miley did not tell me this. But I've heard that originally Billy Ray Cyrus was also supposed to be on that track. But then when he heard Miley's recording, he just pulled out of it completely.
Oh, interesting.
Because I didn't know that they were beefing. Did y'all know this?
I did not.
Miley and her father, apparently, yeah.
I think that's just par for the course. There's always going, when you're in the business like that, sort of like Candy and Tori Spelling, they just can't seem to get it together. So,
well, apparently Billy Ray is a crazy Trump supporter. Does that surprise anybody? Like, would we be surprised?
Well, it sort of does me, because he and Dolly are such close friends. And I mean, I'm not so sure she's not a Republican. You know, I just think that they're such close friends. I'm a little surprised about that.
Didn't Billy Ray do that song with Lil Nas X?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Again, this is just gossip I've heard on the interwebs. This could all be complete lies. I am not responsible. I'm not responsible for any of this.
You heard it here first, people.
Right. Girl, you got to stay off of that dark web, hon. Stay off the dark web. Come back to the light.
Stay off Dark Queer Magnolias, girl.
Right.
Aaron says it's actually all about her mother's new husband. That's what he thinks.
Oh, that's right, because she's like 20-some years old. She's like super, super young. Billy Ray Cyrus's new wife. Never mind. I'm sorry, Aaron. Don't listen to me. I'm all over the place tonight. Sorry.
And it's the mother's new husband, not Billy's new wife. That's more of that tea.
Where are we? What are we talking about? What is this?
So I had a good laugh about the intro to Ya Ya, which is "These boots are made for walking."
Yes.
I'm like, that's a fun. I mean, there's a lot of strength in this album. I think that's the thing about it. There's a lot of power. "These boots were made for walking" was a big anthem for women standing up for themselves. And I thought that was a nice mix to weave in.
There's so many great samples in this album. Like, so many great. Like,
oh,
so
I know. Good. I know.
It's such a, like, oh my God, that song and that song and that song. It's so good.
So 16 Carriages reminded me for some reason of Ruth Brown's gospel album, Gospel Time. And Ruth Brown was the number one jukebox black singer of the 50s. Mm. And I felt like 16 Carriages, which wasn't really necessarily a gospel song, I felt like it had such gospel roots to it. It reminded me so much of Ruth.
I love that. I love it because I think there's so much homage paid in this album to other artists. That's great, Dan. Like, that's something I wouldn't have picked up on. So I love that you recognize that, because that's a great song.
It is a great song.
What'd y'all think of Daughter?
I was betwixt and between with Daughter for whatever reason. What about you, George?
I love the casting out of demons that's going on in that song. I love the putting down the truth on it. Like, I'm my father's daughter, and like, sometimes that stuff, like the things that you don't want to inherit, you got to acknowledge that they're there.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. The apple rarely falls far from the tree. Sadly, right. Sometimes. Right. I know I wish they had slung my apple a little further from the tree, but it didn't happen.
Girl, I want the line "blood on my couture" on my gravestone. That's so.
I know some of your quotes, George, which we will not quote on this episode live.
Hey, well, go ahead. I've already screwed this whole thing up by things.
No. Let's just say that, yes, I think that would be a great quote for your gravestone.
That would be a good one. Yes, thank you.
I can tell you there is one line. I think I texted you or somebody this over the weekend. Maybe it was Aaron. There's one line that will absolutely end up in Old Cove season two at some point. I have to figure out how we work it in, but it's, you are colder than Titanic waters, honey.
Yes.
I was like, I love that. I want a t-shirt that says that.
Yes. Well, I feel like now that I've said that the Miley track is my least favorite, Harper is going to get written out of season two real fast.
I can see a death in his near future.
Real quick. Poor thing. We hardly knew ye.
Bye-bye. Dead to us.
Exactly. I think the other
maybe we'll write an episode where you get tied up and you're exposed to that song over and over and over again as just like punishment.
Yes,
I like it.
By the Cyrus family. I can buy myself flowers. Thank you. I think the thing to talk about too, about with this, not just this particular album, but this idea that I think is behind this album, which is this kind of reclamation of traditional Americana in a way, of saying like, oh, well, these are things that we as a people have been told aren't for us, or we're not allowed in this door, but we're saying screw that. Like,
yeah. So I'm going through this door. We're doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing this and it's amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it based on what she said about how this is kind of it was born out of what she experienced, and she said you're not going to take this from us. And country music actually has its roots in the Black community as well. So
absolutely. I also think that, you know, after that whole debacle with Jason Aldean last year, I think this is a good thing that, you know, she's saying, hey, look, you know, we're here as well, which, you know, I think that the whole music video at a place where there was a lynching shows how far some people really need to bring themselves into today's world. And I think Beyonce saying, look, it isn't, the South isn't just white. We're all different colors, all different shades, and we all have a place.
Well, I think like,
and not just the South, sorry, country music as a whole.
Yep. But maybe Dan, just give a brief description of the Jason Aldean situation for people that don't know.
So last year there was a video, and I almost think the song is called Americana or something like that. And the video was shot at a place where there was a lynching of a Black man. And according to Jason and his publicist, they didn't know, but someone knew where they were. They picked this site on purpose. And then when there was such a big uproar about it, he pushed back.
Oh, thing. Mistakes were made.
And the record label and everyone else. And the song went to number one in country music. So it's important to say that it wasn't just a oopsie. People actually propelled it to number one.
So it wasn't number one, if I remember correctly. It wasn't number one until all the backlash started. And then the MAGAs come along and they're like, oh, we're going to make this song number one. And that's.
And they did. That's very true.
I'm probably oversimplifying by using the word MAGA, but you know, well, they're a MAGA.
I think we all know what it means. So let me ask you this. Since then, has he ever rolled that back? Has he ever?
And his wife has actually ratcheted it up several times.
Oh, wow.
She's actually come way out and said, basically, look at y'all. We went to number one. Screw you if you don't like it. Which is sad because I think the man is gifted with an enormously talented voice. He really is uber talented. And I find that to be so sad. You know, it's one thing to go into something and do something and step in a pile of dog shit. But you know what? You got to come back you know what? Everybody knows I curse. Everybody's heard me for six seasons. This ain't nothing new. So I think, you know, when you step in something, it's not a bad thing to step back and say, oh, my stars, I did not know. Forgive me. This will never happen again. I'll see to it that it never happens again. I will personally see to it. That's what you do when you're a man or a woman or someone of integrity.
See, I think that's very true, because I think there is something in the public that likes to forgive. They like to see someone say, I messed up, I'm human, I'm sorry. And you're like, oh, there's something in the public that's like, oh, okay. Well, I'm human too. I also make mistakes.
That's right.
Unless you're on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, they don't believe in that. So.
Well, you know what though? Don't knock Twitter, because you own that every day too. So don't knock it. Be
I'm
nice.
On Twitter for porn.
Girl, Twitter is the new Tumblr, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally. So back
you
to
know where to look though. So one little thing I do want to say that's probably going to be a little bit controversial.
Go ahead. I already stepped in it earlier.
Let me hold on. Let me get the time code just so in case I have to go in and fix this. Go ahead.
No, you won't have to fix it. So there's been a lot of talk about Linda Martell, and I'm so glad Beyonce included her. Mm-hmm. But I really have to say that there's a reason Linda Martell wasn't bigger than she was, and it isn't just because of her skin color. It was the time she lived in and her skin color. And if you go back and you listen to her early stuff, I don't find her to be uber talented, and I don't mean any harm by that. I just don't find her. She would never have been big with the voice she had. It just would not have happened.
So tell the people who Linda Martell was, Dan.
So Linda Martell was basically the first Black female country singer star. I think she was on the Grand Ole Opry 12 or 13 times. She was the first Black woman to be on the Grand Ole Opry. So it is a big thing. Right. She's talented. She's good. But she would never have been at the top of the mark just because she didn't have the vocal chops for it.
I see.
And it's a sad thing. But I do want to tell a story, because one of my favorite songs that I discovered in country music, and I discovered it through the soul singer Betty Swan. Betty did a lot of country soul music in the 60s. Not Betty LeVette, Betty Swan.
I know Betty Swan and Betty LeVette, honey.
So Betty Swan did a duo with Buck Owens in 1969 of the song Today I Started Loving You Again. And he produced the song. They recorded it together. And when he got to Capitol Records, Capitol Records took a big dump right there. They lost their mind. He was forbidden to release it at all. They refused to release it. They said, if you release it, we're going to have contract issues. And so it sat in a vault until about 5 years ago. It is one of the most beautiful duets I've ever heard in my life. And it's so country. It's so Buck Owens. Her voice blends so well with him. And what I think is, she was already an established soul singer, and he was a huge country star. And if their duet couldn't get out in the world, Linda Martell would never have been huge. It's a sad fact.
Right. Right. Well, I think that goes back to what this album is about. It was just like, this is the door that's been shut to us. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And Beyonce has opened it, thank heavens.
So, Buck Owens.
I know, right?
I thought he was going to come out with some Roy Clark or something. But
he pulled out one was picking and one was grinning.
I feel like Buck Owens really got around in the late 60s and the early 70s.
He did. He was extremely popular in and out of the studio, if you get my drift.
Yeah, so. I bet he was.
We understand.
And you know, you have, he's sort of like George Washington. All over the South, it says George Washington slept here. All over Bakersfield, it says Buck Owens. Take that, Timo. Take that.
Oh my gosh.
Not the Buck Owens bed and breakfast, honey.
Oh no, he has a parkway, George. He has a freeway named after him.
Like a freeway ran through it.
That's right. He did a lot of traveling on that freeway, up and down, honey.
There was a whole lot of traffic.
Talk about he got his cowboy up. Mm. See,
You did it.
That's right.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Speaking of, have either of y'all ever been to the gay rodeo?
Not here. I have been in North Carolina. But
there's
not
a gay rodeo in North Carolina?
There is, yes.
I didn't know that.
Just because Rick was there did not make it a gay rodeo. Come on now.
Just because you wore that hat does not make it a rodeo, honey.
Look, right. Every rodeo needs a clown, and there you are.
y'all can F right off.
That's right, Dan.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So It's funny because the year I went to
it was gay when we left.
Buck Owens and all.
Right. You were trying to get into those Wranglers, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Lee jeans. Those are the days of the Lee jeans.
That's right.
So I do think that, like, the gay cowboy, that ideal, and I don't mean like the Tom of Finland, but I feel like, and maybe I mean a little bit of like the whole Brokeback Mountain thing. I don't know. Maybe I do. I think that's kind of inching into that whole idea of, with certainly with the rodeo, of like places that we're not supposed to be, places that are not, you know, this isn't for you.
I have a friend who is really big in the gay rodeo scene, both here in LA and also I think they do a lot in Arizona as well. And I've been to a few events around town, never to an actual gay rodeo, but like bar events and things like that. So they like to have a good time. So talk about bursting open that barn stall, honey.
Well, we're talking about the actual rodeo, Rick. So keep your mind out of the gutter for a second, please.
We're talking about
the horses.
I went to the after party. Sorry.
Exactly. We're talking about the sunshine and the horses and the out of doors.
Sunshine and lollipops.
Exactly. So, Dan, you've been, you said.
I did. Yes. Ann Walker and Patrika Darbo participated at the gay rodeo here in Los Angeles. And it was the last year we had it here. So after it stopped here, it did move. The one that was here moved to Arizona. So, yeah. Which is sort of sad because we have a big equestrian center here in LA. And, you know, I thought it was something different. You know, we don't see here in Los Angeles, gay cowboys are not like the number one thing we would see here.
No.
So it was nice. It was a nice inclusion that sadly, we don't have anymore.
And well, it depends. Unless you're going to Ole Ole on Sunday afternoon, there's a lot of them.
Just because you got the hat on and the belt buckle and the shoes, I don't know if that actually makes you.
Well,
cowboy.
It's role playing. It's like Comic Con.
That's right. It's cosplay, honey.
George, those shoes have fringe on them, hon. That you know, and the belt buckle's holding.
Girl, everything has fringe on it, even the hat.
Okay, so now that you brought that up. Let's talk a little bit about
hats.
Help me.
Use your words, Shelby. Use your words.
Cowboy, gay cowboy, fringe on the cowboy hat. Wears a mask.
Oh, yeah, God.
Orville Peck.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Clearly, this is not my night for words. Orville Peck.
Oh, yes.
Mm-mm. So
here's some. Here's what I got to say about Orville.
Yes, thank you.
So here again, I'm probably going to go straight to hell for this, but Orville should practice a little more karaoke before he does live singing because it hurt my ears.
Oh, you saw him perform live?
On a video with Shania Twain, and I was like, oh, ouch, that hurts. I mean, I mean,
he could actually lip sync to a voice track because you can't see his mouth or anything else. So is it hear down or hear down? I don't remember. I feel like
it's hear down. Yeah, mustache or nose down or mustache down.
I feel like it's there. Like, that's all.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah,
you know what? They make these amazing little devices called iPhones where you can look things up.
Let's just say she's giving gay Lone Ranger.
There you go. Oh, so Aaron says
it's actually a little face refill.
Yeah, exactly, with the fringe, which is why the fringe came up. But
so
also,
I did see something the other day. It was an Instagram post or a Twitter post by him, and his fringe was on the ground, like by his pants, and it's like, oh my lord, he's dropped his drawers right there.
I saw that the other morning when I stepped out to go to the mailbox. I was like, well, somebody had a party last night because their fringe has hit the ground.
They hit the ground. I mean, I really liked the album, that his last album. Like, I thought that was, I was into it. But, you know, albums are very different than performing live.
Well, of course. True. It's produced to Jesus.
We all learned that when Lana Del Rey sang live on Saturday Night Live, and that was... And I love her. But
There are people that are certainly much better in live in person or recorded. So, you know.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Not a darn thing. We're better live. What can I say?
Are we?
Well, I don't know, unless you wake up on Thursday morning, you're like, oh, I got to edit an episode because you got to take that out.
Hopefully tonight won't be that way. You can take that long, awkward pause where I couldn't think of Orville Peck's name.
No, I'm going to leave that in. Please, George says not everyone could be Kelly Clarkson. And, well, this is true. So
that's what Aaron said.
What did I say? George?
Yeah, George.
Oh, sorry, darling. Yeah.
But this you'll fix. That you'll edit out and fix.
The tea is a little strong tonight. That might get fixed by morning. Who could say?
Exactly. That shall fix.
All right. So, favorite country artist. Do you have one?
Beyonce.
What was that?
Beyonce can now be on that list. But I thought for sure you'd say Taylor.
I do love. You know what? I love Taylor. And because I love Taylor, I have to like the country albums. But they're not my favorite. I mean, if you're going to take favorite country artists, we're queers. It's going to be Dolly Parton.
Well, Dolly or Reba. Reba is also one that I really like a lot as well. And I also, I don't know, Miley doesn't really count anymore. But Miley's voice has changed so much over the past few years. And I don't hate it. You know, I do kind of like it a little bit. So
it's all about the journey.
That's right.
She's bringing some Bea Arthur vibes, that's for sure.
So what about Loretta Lynn? Is she a country? Is she a queer icon? Dan, talk to me about Loretta. No. I feel like you know.
No. I think Loretta was a wonderful woman. I think she was a great artist, but she was more in the Trump camp. So Loretta had to sort of come off the list for me.
Because she has, I mean, those like prairie dresses from here down to the ground, like, girl, what is happening?
Well, and was it Tammy Wynette that came back in the 90s with that?
KLF, yeah. Dustified and Ancient.
Yeah. And so she kind of crossed over and became a little bit of a gay icon because of that.
I mean, Tammy Wynette, come on. Stand by your man.
I am by your man.
Stand by your man.
Well, and Aaron suggested Kacey Musgrave, which is a very big supporter of LGBTQ.
We do love her for sure.
And Shania Twain.
Slow burn.
And Aaron said Reba too. Yay. So, you know, I cannot be from Mount Airy, North Carolina without talking about Donna Fargo, though, because Donna Fargo was a country music artist from Mount Airy, North Carolina, and she's got this huge, right now, a huge mural in downtown Mount Airy, which is about 3 stoplights. That's all it is. But they've got a big, huge mural up with her. And apparently, my mother said that when the mural went up, she came out and did the ribbon cutting dedication to it or whatever. So, do you know Donna Fargo?
No, but I do want to ask you, did they paint over the Andy Griffith Aunt Bee mural to put
No, that's at the next stoplight. That's on the other side. The other side of the BB&T Bank and Trust.
Not with the BB&T Branch Bank and Trust. I don't know Donna Fargo, no. Do you, Dan?
Delta Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Delta Dawn, you know that song.
No, of course I do. I thought that was Helen Reddy.
Nope.
It was. She recorded it as well, but Donna Fargo did the country version.
Oh. Who did it first?
Donna.
All right.
Yeah, and Tanya Tucker did it as a cover of it as well.
Tanya Tucker, honey.
Tanya Tucker is a badass. Let's go on and put that right out there in the ether. Tanya Tucker's been to hell and back, and she's still here. She is proof positive that it really don't matter what you do. Not everybody's going to be dead.
She's going to be the epitome of sliding into the grave sideways, banged up, bruised, and tore down from one side to the other.
And screaming, hell yeah, let's do it again.
Well, that reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from the Addams Family movie, where someone says, you know, the human spirit is a really hard thing to kill. And then Grandmama Addams says, even with a chainsaw.
Yes, I think Tanya should do a commercial with a chainsaw. I think that would fit in perfectly. Oh, my God. Aaron just watched that movie today.
He also wanted to know when, do you remember when Jessica Simpson went country? Wasn't she always country, though? I mean, I guess no, they tried to make her first. Like the next Britney Spears or something.
Yeah.
So she's from the country. Where is she from? Like Alabama or Texas? I don't know where she's from.
I don't Louisiana, know either. I think.
I know that she was Daisy Duke in that terrible movie.
Oh, yes, she was. and Nick Lachey. And what was it? Chicken of the Sea?
Chicken of the, what is this I'm eating? Is it chicken or is it fish? That girl.
Mm-hmm. I got to love it, though. I thought it was great.
It was either, she's either incredibly brilliant with like her marketing, like the way that she's marketing herself, or poor thing. One of them, or bless her heart.
Oh, apparently she was born in Texas. So, well, that
I love that someone is fact-checking this.
That tracks. All right, Aaron, you're hired. You can do all the fact-checking for our episodes. When we start talking shite, you can come in and correct us.
Yeah, you can be like, nope, wrong. I'm like, well, probably.
You can keep us from getting sued before the next episode.
Look, everything I say is false. None of what I'm saying is true. I'm just saying that right now. Yeah. I'm just making it all up.
Everything I say is hyperbole. It's meant for entertainment purposes only.
Exactly. None of this is real. None of it's real.
This never happened.
Exactly.
You didn't see anything.
Exactly. All right. How do we feel? Do you feel like we've said what we need to say about the reclamation?
I do. I feel like I need to go and listen to Cowboy Carter again and do another rotation. I feel like that needs to happen.
I know. I wish that we could like put clips of music in.
Wanted to do that too. And yeah. I wanted to do other little video things. And I was like, I don't know if I can get away with that. So, yeah. I'm not. Even though some of these things live on social, I don't know where the line is there. Maybe the producer and Aaron could go find out.
Also, what she's really not saying, Janet, she's not that tech savvy.
Well.
Well, I just barely figured out this live stream thing. I can't even mash the buttons in the beginning. So
if people weren't commenting, we wouldn't even know we were live.
Exactly. Thank God.
Thank God.
All right. Good. Well, I don't know about y'all, but my LGBT is ice cubes are dry.
Moi aussi.
It's time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank y'all for joining us, and go listen to Beyonce one more time, because that's what I'm about to do.
All the time.
Right? All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Hope you bless.